Hi, my name's Teresa Cottam, and I'm the Chief Analyst here at Omnisperience. In this issue of our Omniscene, I have some great interviews to share with you from thought leaders in the customer experience domain. These include Alan Linter from Capita, Radha Sankaran from Verizon, and Harj Muntz from guided selling and onboarding vendor Conversity. I'm also going to share with you our latest research on customer experience, which is a new concept called DCES, Digital Communication and Engagement Solutions. So I'd like to begin by introducing Alan Linter to the Omniscene from Capita. Alan, welcome to the Omniscene. Could you begin by introducing yourself and Capita to our listeners?
Hi, Teresa. Hi, thank you for having me. I'm the Innovation Data Science Director at Capita in the Customer Management Division. Part of Capita, which is a big organisation, but primarily in the division I look after, which is around about 27,000 people in contact centres and doing customer management across multiple brands in Europe, South Africa, India, and the UK. So my role is in reality twofold. It's one, looking the new technology and the combination of existing technologies to bring innovation to our clients, and looking for startups that we can work with as well in terms of giving us a competitive edge and developing our own technology in-house. And secondly, looking after our data strategy and how we best use data to improve our operations, customer experiences, and our clients' businesses.
So I think we're at a very interesting point in the telecoms market, Alan. So we're just bringing to market some technical innovation in the form of FTTP and 5G. And I think it's critical that at the same time we meet customers' evolving expectations of the customer experience that we're delivering. So when you think about great customer experiences, what inspires you?
I saw a company last year, which was an airline, which unfortunately, given COVID, not having the best of times, but in Delta, CES last year, that really, you know, seeing something that was fundamentally different to anything I'd seen, and that was hyper-personalization in the sense of not only they innovated in their customer experience, but they've also invented as well. And I don't know if everybody's seen it, who's listening, but they effectively personalize the experience in air travel by creating a concept called parallel reality, which means that without any gadgets, without any screens, without any headwear, consumers could travel through an airport on an airline and see an entirely personalized experience. So they've invented a way of scanning a person's body and image and positional and their height, logging them when they checked in, as it were, and then every single screen, every single advertising hoarding you looked at as you walked through an airport, and I think it's Atlanta they went live in, you would see an entirely personalized image. And the televisions, effectively, in terms of multifaceted pixels, they invented to do this, had the ability for a singular screen to have 1,000 different images on it. 1,000 different people could look at exactly the same screen and see the same messaging. And that messaging was just unbelievable, from tailored to where you were going, to the language that you spoke, to the directions you had, to how long you had before your flight. It was something that I think, you know, sort of brought the best of technology, personalization, and invention together, actually. But if anyone's not seen it, I would recommend looking at the Delta Airlines parallel reality demonstrations that they've got online.
What I like about that example, Alan, is that although they're using quite sophisticated technologies in combination, what they've actually done is start from the customer's perspective. They've started from the perspective of, how can I make the experience better? And then they've employed these technologies to do that, which I think is the right way to go about doing it. But in telecoms, we're really lagging behind in terms of experience. So if you look at, for example, the UK CSAT index, you know, we score 74.2, which might not sound too bad until you realise that makes us 11th out of 13 industries that were measured. And in the US, our CSAT scores on average for the industry are even worse. I mean, the wireless industry comes 35th out of 46 industries, and the ISPs come even worse, 45th out of 46 industries. So clearly we've got a lot of work to do catching up and delivering a better experience to our customers. But how can we go about doing that?
Telecoms is a really hard sector, right? It's a sector where effectively there's no, in reality, in the customer base, there's very little customer segmentation. You know, telcos are providing for pretty much the whole of the nation, and the penetration is, you know, a device is very high. And I think it is, it's somewhere in the region of 1.7 or heading towards 2 in terms of devices or SIM type contracts per customer. So it's a challenge in the sense of they're serving multi-generational demographics, and also because they've got physical stores. So I think technology is a brilliant asset, but I think all too often people have become focused on the technology and not really on making that truly customer-centric. So technology for technology's sake. And given that there's a device in somebody's hand that telcos actually sell that is effectively the gateway to everybody's modern life, I think thinking about how you use that in a simpler, more intelligent way and is absolutely key. Some examples and some of the technologies we're thinking about working with our clients today, like passwordless authentication. If you look at a way somebody might interact with the telco, there's lots of clever technology at use. But in reality, it's usually different in every single channel. So if you want to authenticate a contact center, it may be some type of natural language system or RBR system based around knowledge-based passwords. If you move into a online experience, it could be that you are using passwords and usernames to log on to. Vice versa, it could be biometric if you get into your app, but something very different in a store. So if you look at it like that, we've actually created environments where we're asking the customers to identify themselves in 4 or 5 different ways across every channel. They're all very smart pieces of technology. Really hard for the customer. 4 or 5 different ways of doing it. They've all got their own benefits. But training a customer and training to use that type of thing in terms of the experience in a consistent way is nigh on impossible. And it just starts becoming a barrier for the things that maybe we want the customers to do, such as use digital channels more. You know, the fact that it's a different way of authenticating every time. So it's a good example of really thinking about the technology is fantastic, but is it consistent across channels and does it really make it easy to interact with? And these are common problems. You know, at Capita, we've got the luxury of seeing these problems across multiple sectors. And there are probably, we think, about 20 or 30 key journeys that you can describe most organizations with. And telco will have some of the unique steps. But as consumers, we see the consumers move across all those channels. And the same barriers come out, the frustrations with digital design. Of course, customers, what they don't know is they don't know organizations' processes. So I think we talked earlier, Teresa, you talked about the notion of an echo chamber becoming reinforcing. I think thinking about customers and basic tests, I know there's a lot of persona stuff at times in terms of my mum test, but even then it's quite technology led, quite sometimes persona led, and we've got the standard things. And actually in the data, the real sort of personas we create don't exist. So testing those things in a real world rapidly, thinking about the customer at the heart of it at all times rather than being technology led. Being data-driven rather than, I would argue, persona-driven. And really thinking, does this really reduce effort for the customer? Or is it a means of a technology reducing cost for the organization? Those things are always trade-off. But in reality, in cost-driven initiatives, really having a serious think about, is this the same or less effort for a customer?
So I really hear what you're saying here, Alan, because I think in telecoms, we often are too organizational centric. You know, we are obsessed with our own issues, such as saving costs, for example, or because we like implementing technology, we implement a lot of technology. And we don't always think about, you know, the customer perspective on this and the impact that it has on customers. We aren't really all that customer centric. One of the things I'm really passionate about is that this is even embedded within our KPIs. So if you look at the KPIs, they're all about things like reducing the amount of time we spend talking to our customers, average call handling, or stopping them from talking to us, you know, call center deflection rates, which aren't really very customer centric measures at all. So I acknowledge that there has to be a win-win. We have to be efficient. We have to keep costs down. But we also want to actually put our customers' needs there in the centre. And I do think there is a sort of win-win. I think that there are technologies there that we can use to do the heavy lifting And then we can combine that with perhaps more human qualities. We can put our humans where they add the most value to the customer experience. So what do you think about this issue of, you know, combining technology and humanity to create better outcomes for our customers?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about the KPIs. I think we all are part of an industry where we've all potentially, you know, as leaders in it, have got responsibility to try and move us on from metrics that are 20, 30 years old in terms of the world moving on. A good example of that is average handling time. And actually, a customer never sees an average handling time, never feels or sees it. It's ironic. It's not representative of anything a customer sees. It's a fantastic tool for our workforce planners and accountants, but actually, it's not maybe what an agent necessarily experiences. And certainly a customer doesn't experience some of the components of it, like wrap timing calls or the like. So they experience, you know, queuing and waiting in telephony systems and IVRs. They experience, you know, the talk and the whole bit. They never actually feel or see an average handling time, which means the industry is rife for thinking about it in a different way and looking at metrics a little bit different if we're trying to drive CX. The technology needs to reflect that. I think things shouldn't be viewed as potentially reducing costs as the singular only lens in terms of maybe what an AHT does, because that's what sort of maths is behind, you know, reducing costs, looking at AHTs. But actually looking at some notion of, you know, if you want to get into Six Sigma type of sort of process tact or cycle time for the customer in terms of what does that end-to-end effort looks like for them. So that can be in a simple part of a call by looking at queue times and talk and hold and driving that. Well, secondly, you know, it can be in terms of lots of things people might do in terms of CX design, but starting to think about it not in traditional metrics is probably key. And then there's a whole new set of technology that we can do to introduce those things and start to harness it. So augmenting and using technology, not necessarily to automate people or deflect people, but starting to use technology in conversations to make those conversations as good as they can be as they happen. You know, it's got to be the future we look towards with technology and contact centres.
Okay, but it's always good to have some war stories, Alan. Have you got any experiences or examples that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, I think it's always a bit hard in terms of divulging names, I suppose, in terms of cats, but we're seeing huge changes in what we can achieve in terms of reducing contact rates. So one of those is actually working with a utility to start, which we're doing to predict people moving house. So there's enough data to be able to do that. And it's actually refreshing for people to be sort of in the middle of something so emotive as, you know, we call them life moments, moving house. Having to think about giving meter readers everything to do is not what you ought to be doing on your moving day. As somebody who's done that recently, panicking about vans arriving and making sure the house is clean for the people who are moving into it and everything else that goes to it. So we've been able to take something like 75% of the contact out of that process by proactively understanding through data a customer's moving house. There's plenty of data points available to do that, and proactively reaching out to customers to take control of the process. So absolutely effortless for the customer, situational. We've built a mini app to do that, which allows them and nudges and reminds them and takes some of the stress out of the emotions. It's a really good example of some of the work we're doing in that space. We've recently started to roll out real-time speech analytics, which in terms of, you know, augmenting conversations with AI and machine learning, using that as a data source, which we see a fantastic way of reducing handling times. There's RPA capability in it in terms of taking some cost out. But more importantly, I suppose we use the phrase helping the machines take the robot out of the human. We're really interested in the fact that, you know, being a contact center agent is a tough old job and increasingly getting tougher in these strange and uncertain times. And with automation taking lots of, you know, traditional and historical tasks out of the process, what we're left dealing with in contact centers is obviously very difficult and hard. So allowing some of the conversation to drive the technology and navigate desktops allows us to take, I suppose, the robot out of the human by the AI doing it, and also allow them to focus and be prompted along the way in terms of the conversation, and to focus on that conversation and that human interaction and making that bond and that empathy and getting to the right resolution for customers.
Well, I've been talking to Alan Linter from Capita today. He's been sharing his experience around the contact centre and customer experience with us. If you'd like to find out more about Capita's offering, you can do so by visiting their website at capita.com. And it just remains for me to ask you, Alan, what are your top tips for service providers in terms of how they can improve the experience they offer to their customers?
Thinking about the digital experience, how stores fit into that, thinking about the investment in those moments of truth when the conversations do need to happen will be the thing that will make huge brand advocates. Thinking about the human interactions equally with equal importance as a self-service or digital process is absolutely key, we believe.
So today I wanted to talk to you about a new customer experience category that Omnisperience is rolling out, and we call this DCES, or Digital Communication and Engagement Solutions. So why do we need a new category? Why now? And what's it all about? That's what I'm here to tell you. So DCES stands for Digital Communication and Engagement Solutions. At the core, it's about creating coherent, resonant, and contextual experiences that deliver increased value to the customer and loyalty at a lower operational cost to the CSP. A DCES strategy combines and integrates communications and engagement technologies across departmental silos to optimize communication engagement with the customer by design and aligns it with overarching business objectives and brand values. So what does that mean in practice? Well, as we know in telecoms, we have lots of technologies to communicate with and engage with our customers. But as I said, these tend to be provided on a departmental basis. And what that means is, from the customer's perspective, communication and engagement is highly fragmented. The effect of this is to drive negative communication cycles with the customer. So let me give you an example. The customer might receive a bill, and in that, there is a charge they don't understand. The bill is higher than they expect and they experience anxiety and bill shock. What they then have to do is pick up the phone to the call centre and query the charge on their bill. So this means coming out of the channel that they're in, which might be email or it might be a digital portal, it might even be paper, and going and looking up a number and then calling that number. When they call the call centre, they then have to wait in a queue and provide information. They probably have to repeat that information again, perhaps more than once. And then the CSR has to try and figure out what the charge was for and why it's happened. No doubt the CSR can explain this charge to the customer, but is it really satisfactory? Can they make an offer to the customer to help decrease their distress? For example, can they suggest that there is a package that would have included this charge and the customer would therefore not have suffered an overage charge? Can they upsell that to the customer now, easily? Possibly the customer is too frustrated and too distressed to even consider upgrading at this point. So an opportunity has been lost. This turns into a highly negative communication cycle, which results in the customer thinking, I really don't want to open my next bill. I don't want to interact with my service provider, and I think I better start looking for a new one. Clearly, the outcome of this communication cycle is not what the service provider was hoping for. Instead, what DCES does is advocate driving positive communication cycles. And to do that, what needs to happen is more integration between different types of communication and across departmental silos. But why is this an issue now? What's the accelerator of this? Well, partly this is to do with increasing customer expectations, and that's something that COVID-19 in 2020 has actually accelerated. Other vertical markets provide more integrated digital experiences for customers, and so customers now increasingly expect that kind of experience from service providers. But in addition to that, next year we're going to see the rollout of commercial 5G. And whenever there's any kind of innovation, it can be confusing and frustrating for customers. So it's imperative that to support the rollout of the new services that we're going to take to market, that we improve the way we communicate with our customers. If we don't, then not only will they become frustrated, this will slow down vital new revenue streams that we're hoping to see beginning in 2021. But not only will this create enormous opportunity costs for service providers, it will also increase their operating costs. Because if customers don't understand the new prices, the new products, the new offerings, they're going to call the call centre, and traffic to the call centre is going to increase, which is not necessarily positive traffic. I'd like to buy this new package. Can you tell me more about it? But negative traffic, you know, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand this. Can you help me? So what we're advocating is that they have to anticipate the fact that 5G is likely to stimulate new communication and engagement events, and that if they don't pay attention to these and make sure that they have anticipated these and that they are communicating and engaging effectively with customers, then it will start to create an increasing number of negative communication cycles. If you'd like to find out more about DCS, what it means, why we need to get better at doing it, and what can be done, then we have a free green paper for you to download from our website at omnisperience.com. You can download that directly from omnisperience.com/research, or you can navigate from our front page. And we hope you enjoy reading that paper, and we'll be diving into that topic in more detail in 2021. Meanwhile, coming up next, I'm talking to Harj Muntz, who's the CEO of guided selling and onboarding vendor Conversity. So one of the areas in which we can definitely improve the way we communicate and engage with our customers is in the sales and onboarding process. And I was fortunate to catch up with the CEO of Conversity, Harj Muntz, and talk to him about this issue. So hi, Harj, and welcome to the Omniscene. Could you begin, please, by introducing yourself and your company to our listeners?
Good morning, and thank you, Teresa. Can I just say it's great to be invited to take part in your podcast. I find it both current and really well informed. I'm Harj Muntz, and I've been the CEO of Conversity for about 18 months. We're a software as a service company, and we offer hyper-personalization solutions in the sales process.
Okay, but what does that actually mean, Harj?
Well, we help telco executives at companies such as BT, EE, and the Phone Co-op to distill what is really important to their customers by engaging with them directly in their purchase and service processes, and then to ensure clients are only offered services they can actually have.
Right, so this is exactly what I wanted to talk about today. I mean, I think, you know, we're all agreed we want to sell more to our customers, but we often overlook the process of selling, the way that we sell to our customers. We don't always make it that easy for our customers to buy from us, do we, Harj?
You're absolutely right. It's amazing how online retailers fail to recognise the importance of understanding a client's requirements. But I hasten to add, this isn't limited to the telco industry. Every company that sells technology blasts their clients and customers with more technical information all the time, and they don't stop and take the time to establish their customers' needs and circumstances. This is equivalent to a shop assistant standing in a store shouting, 6.4-inch screen, Bluetooth 5.1, like some 21st century virtual town crier on continuous repeat.
Yeah, I hear you. And in the part of the industry that I work, the B2B side, I mean, it's even worse than on the consumer side because, you know, we have very complex set of products that we want to sell. And it's often frustrating and frustratingly slow as well to buy things.
The greater the choice, the bigger the problem. The paradox of choice is that the more variety we're offered, the harder it is for us to choose. But it doesn't need to be like this. If we ask some very specific questions to establish our needs, our intent, and our circumstances, this bewildering choice can quickly be reduced to something both more manageable and, just as importantly, more enjoyable. And a commonly quoted example is preserves or jams. If we're offered some 24 different jams, we're very unlikely to buy one. Single-digit percentage chances of buying a product. But if we're given some questions such as, do you like tangy jams? Do you like sweet jam? Do you like seed in your jam or not? And then we're given four or five jams. There's a 30% chance we buy. So asking these questions to establish desire and needs is good for both the customer and for the retailer. Now, on top of this, ignorance about customers leads companies to market products that the audience can't actually have. And the telco industry is really bad at this. They disappoint their customers when they discover that they can't have the high-speed broadband that was so tantalizingly promised to them, because their premises don't support it or are too far from the exchange, or that their credit rating prevents them from having the iPhone that was looking so appealing in the advert. And long term, this behaviour really damages the brand. But get it right and you enhance brand loyalty as you build a connection with your clients. As e-commerce takes a larger share of our wallet, it really is important that companies take this seriously now.
So I often say to telecoms companies that they are very cost focused. And while it's really important to be efficient and to keep your costs under control, what they're doing is they're overlooking their opportunity costs, the money they're leaving on the table because they're not selling proficiently and they're making it too hard for their customers to buy from them. Now, as we know, selling is a black art. So what I'd like to ask you is, how do we become better at enabling our customers to buy from us? And how does a company like Conversity help telecoms firms to improve the way they sell?
Absolutely, Teresa. The B2C world has a big problem in providing customers what they need, but its problem applies equally to the B2B world. In fact, more so, because the needs can be far more complex and have to be rationalized to justify a decision. Solutions that are more complex and span several different professional disciplines. For example, networks, technology, servers, security. Get the decision wrong, and it can really impact the performance of your business. And who knows, it might even be terminal for your career. So the answer might involve equipping agents with effective knowledge solutions to empower them to sell better and guide prospects to a solution that really addresses their needs in this complex world of interconnected network, telephony and security solutions. But the real win is that the outcome is increased revenue for the vendor and a much more satisfied enterprise client. And of course, this comes against a backdrop of faster agent onboarding as training and support are simplified. So at the simplest level, we enable our clients to listen to their customers by asking questions. Customers respond strongly to this. They much prefer being asked what they want rather than have some AI solution guessing based upon past and often irrelevant behavior. And the example I frequently quote is people who get engaged, and after they're engaged, they're still being advertised for an engagement ring. This is a singularly important, hopefully, once in a lifetime event. And therefore, once it's done, you don't want to be given adverts for the same task in the future. So at Conversity, we leverage a team of psychologists to design bespoke journeys for each client. These journeys are dynamic, which means they're not linear. So a linear journey, if you think about this, is equivalent to a filter. It gradually reduces the options that you need. So you ask a question, reduces your option pool to a subset of that. Ask again, reduces again. A non-linear journey is about the individual, the geography they're in, their circumstance, and can take extremely complex third-party data, for example, traffic or a football event or weather, and can use that to influence the outcome. This, of course, is an addition to simple but important information such as stock levels. Again, don't sell the customer something they can't have, because you know what? They'll leave your site and they'll go to your competitors. So you've sold for somebody else. Let me give you an example. Imagine I bought a product I need urgently. Once I've guided the individual to the best product for them, our platform is able to advise on the best click and collect location based upon traffic times. So not only are you offering a product you've got in stock, you're also offering the best way to get it rapidly if you need it rapidly. Or it might well be something as simple as performing a credit check. So again, to make sure, with the appropriate approvals, the person you're talking to online is able to make the purchase. Further, the journeys can be optimized by machine learning. We also optimize our dynamic journeys and digital footprints. Think of this as the equivalent of body language. It might include connecting to social media feeds or monitoring how someone responds to a certain question. And of course, review sites are a great way for people to validate their choices. Our order management system takes the client's needs established by IGS and ensures the telco is able to fulfill them. This starts with pricing optimizations for agents in call centers and in store, and for the online stores as well, continues with line checks, direct debit checks, and credit checks before transaction fulfillment, and then it extends to jeopardy reporting and escalation management. All of these combined, we're delighted to report, ensures that our clients score top marks in Ofcom consumer satisfaction surveys on their experience in placing an order.
Well, that all sounds great, Harj. It's about a year since you launched your IGS, your intelligent guided selling solution. How has it gone in the market? Have you got any positive results or experiences that you can share with us today?
Well, it's been absolutely phenomenal, Teresa. We have an amazing team. It might sound corny, but innovation courses through them. We've quadrupled our clients since I joined. Outside our telco clients, we can also count household names such as Lego, L'Oreal, and Reckitt Benckiser. We have 0% customer churn, and the majority of our clients see such strong ROI, they've already signed contracts to increase their investment. Of note, we've significantly developed our data analytics group and are able to guide clients to leverage consumer psychology, not just within their journeys we deploy, but across their entire business. None of this is surprising when you consider we increase e-commerce conversion rates threefold on average, and we double basket sizes. And equally importantly, our clients tell us we create a halo effect. What do I mean by halo effect? Well, this is where our platform increases the customer's trust in the vendor and increases sales across the business. But obviously, the most important metric is customer satisfaction, which is why our 0% churn is so important to me. And of course, our performance at the Phone Co-op winning us Best Online Innovation and our deployment for LEGO winning Best Personalization in e-commerce. These two awards were a great way to close out 2020.
That's great, Harsh. So if our listeners want to find out more about your company, how can they do so?
Well, as you'd expect, Teresa, full details are available at worldwidewebconversion.com. And if you select the About You page, then you'll be able to see what we've been discussing in this podcast by exercising one of our journeys.
So it's been really interesting talking to you, Harsh. In summary, though, what would your top tips be to service providers who want to sell more to their customers?
So, as I mentioned earlier, we have a very simple mantra. Remember, every customer is unique. Sell them what they want and then only offer them what they can have. And finally, make sure you deliver it with excellence. There are no new customers in telco, so it's critical the industry optimizes their sales and service for the existing customer base. Online, in store, or over the phone, doesn't matter what the channel is, every single company needs to improve their sales approach.
So I'd like to introduce Radha Sankaran, who is from Verizon. Radha, welcome to the Omni Scene. Could you please begin by introducing yourself and your role within Verizon?
Oh, definitely. Thanks, Teresa. It's a pleasure talking to you. I am actually the executive director within Verizon, where I am leading a team that's responsible for defining personalized experiences for our customers, leveraging data and AI and ML.
So at Verizon, you've created this team that goes across the entire organization that's responsible for customer experience. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the thinking behind that was? What's the remit of the team? What are you responsible for? And how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the legacy Verizon, our focus was primarily, you know, very channel focused. We looked at channel KPIs where, you know, the sales channels focused on the sales KPIs, the service channels focused on the service KPIs. What we decided as part of Verizon 2.0 was to step back and look at, okay, you know, how do we look at this holistically from a customer perspective? What is it that we're doing for the customer? And how can we build an experience that is seamless and omni-channel, irrespective of whichever channel they choose to engage with us? So that was the real idea behind it. This, the team that has been formed under a chief customer experience officer focuses on the journey experiences for our customers, as well as the piece that I lead, which is data-driven personalization.
Thanks, Radha. But could you explain to us, why is experience now so important to Verizon?
Here's one of the things that we realized, right? If you can see within the US, the top three competitors really in this market are, you know, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. And as we move more into 5G, Verizon has always had the network brand. We've been had the most superior brand. And as we were moving forward, we realized while we have maintained that superiority with our brand, we wanted to be as famous for our experiences as we are for our network, which is one of the big reasons why we really wanted to focus on the customer experience as well, which will make customers feel not only are they part of the best network, but they're also part of a company that values the customer experience.
Well, that's an excellent answer, Radha, I have to say. It's exactly what we want to hear service providers saying more often. But when you think about how you're going to deliver this, a superior experience, what are the tools and the techniques and the processes do you think are going to be really important to enable you to do this?
First and foremost is data. Data is the new oil, as they say. It's so important that you have good data about your customers, just data around their journeys, their experiences, etc. That will help you really hone in on how you can focus on the experiences for your customer, both from a sales and a service perspective. In terms of tools and technologies, there are several out there, really. From our perspective, it was really building out a systems of insights platform that allowed us in real time understand the customer's need and then present them with that right next best action. So it's just a combination of, you know, a real-time decisioning for our customers, leveraging data at its core.
So personalization always sounds like such a great thing, so wonderful to do for our customers. But as you and I are probably aware, Radha, it can go horribly wrong. So how is Verizon handling personalization to ensure that it delivers the benefits to the customers and avoids some of the pitfalls?
So, you know, with our personalization, what we do is we actually leverage a combination of data to be able to predict and prescribe that next best action. But we're also looking to see, to the point that you're making, there are a lot of times when we are not able to predict accurately. We get on an average about, you know, 35 to 40% in terms of our opt-in rates for the predictions that we do. But how do we take the ones that we have not predicted, but still gather enough information from that customer to personalize as much as possible what that next action can be for them? So we try and do that in combination. That way, you know, we're not fully just relying on the data that we have and the prediction aspect of it, but really gathering more information from the customer as well.
So when you look forward, Radha, to say 2026, how do you imagine the experience is going to be if you manage to get this right?
So if we get this right, we want to be able to make it really seamless and effortless for our customers to self-serve and get experiences and prevent them from having to reach out to us. We want to be proactive in understanding and also being able to build a lot of those moments that matter for our customer, leveraging data, where, you know, it is really a wow moment for them and they understand the power of being associated with Verizon.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you when it comes to this wow factor, Radha. I think that it's not just enough to have satisfied customers anymore. We have to aim to delight our customers.
Yes.
But if we do get this right, Radha, if we do manage to delight our customers, what are the business benefits of doing that?
Definitely, we are already seeing in terms of our measurements, you know, I had some really exciting stories this week with the team where we are able to measure the quality of our customer experiences and really tie that to churn and retained revenue. So there is on one end, there's a sales revenue and, you know, a service cost that you can avoid by being able to predict upfront. But the third aspect of it that we're looking at right now is just the retained revenue that we can get from our customers because we provided them with a personalized and the right experience that prevented them from hopping from one channel to another. That's one aspect of it. And of course, the next aspect of it is really the overarching NPS score and the ability to have customers who will be our promoters and not the detractors.
Excellent. So based on the experience that you've had at Verizon and the success that you've experienced, what top tips do you have that you can share with service providers that are just starting on this journey, Radha?
Have a very good foundation of data, you know, layered on top of that, of course, with tools and technologies that allow you to do that personalization. And then eventually your ability to measure and show the outcome and the ROI around it.
So this is the final pod scene of 2020 for Omnisperience, but we've got some great new interviews and topics coming up in 2021, so we hope you'll join us. Don't forget to download your complimentary copy of our green paper on DCES, Digital Communication and Engagement Solutions. And we've got more analysis on that coming out in 2021. If you'd like to take part in one of our podzines or suggest topics that you think we ought to be covering, then you can email me, Teresa Cottam, at tc@omnisperience.com. So it just remains for me to say thank you for being our listeners. I hope you have a happy holidays and a productive new year. And I look forward to talking to you all again in 2021.